Welcome to Market Proof Marketing, the podcast from the industry leaders at Do You Convert, where we talk about the current and future state of marketing and online sales for builders and developers across the globe. We're not here to sell you, we're here to help you and to try and elevate the conversation. Is there a topic you'd like us to cover or a question you'd like us to answer? We'll do it. Simply send an email to show@doyouconvert.com. All right, everyone. This is why you build a recording studio in your house when you can, is because I'm downstairs. My birthday is tomorrow morning.
Happy birthday.
My daughter and I are baking a cake. She's mostly doing the baking. I'm making sure she doesn't make a disaster of the kitchen. And I get a text from Rob, and he says, "Hey, I saw you did a thing. Would you like to do a thing with me?" And I was like, yeah, like, let me just go put my work shirt back on and we're going to do this. Because you've been a busy guy, especially when stuff like this happens, everyone wants to talk. And so appreciate you coming on. And I thought it'd be fun just to hear your kind of first quick take from your perspective. And then I would like to run through a couple different scenarios of what ifs from home builders of, if an agent shows up or the buyer says this, what do you think this impacts or doesn't impact that scenario? Yep. And then we'll go from there. And then
happy, MLS happy to do it. And happy birthday, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right. So is this a nothing burger? Is this a thing?
I think when I wrote my first post, I did a first take and then a second take, right? My first take was, this is a giant nothing burger and everyone is pretending. Now, at the same time, I said that NAR had won this total victory. So let's put it this way. Most of the press releases, most of the, like, the New York Times coverage, the CNN coverage, all the media coverage,
make it sound like they lost big.
Make it sound like everything's about to change. And, you know, and sort of the industry gurus and pundits that are out there talking like, oh my God, like 6% is gone and buyer commissions are gone and buyers are screwed. And I'm like, none of you have read the settlement agreement, have you? Because when you do, none of that is true. It's actually amazing how wrong I think the media have gotten it. And as a result, people who are then responding and reacting to the media stories and then drawing out what the implications are, getting it all wrong as well. Okay. So, I thought about it. I've had so many of these conversations now, you know, with a lot of people. I think I'll put it this way. The big unknown right now, the big, big unknown, like who the hell knows, is whether Catchmark and the plaintiff's attorneys, who are some of the best in the world, like Cohen Milstein and Higgins Berman and Sussman Godfrey, like these are giants. Catchmark has said that he talks to the DOJ all the time.
Yeah.
If the DOJ signed off on this settlement agreement, then I think we can assume it will take effect. If the DOJ, for whatever reason, was not consulted and did not sign off on this, then there's a chance that we see, you know, some dramatic happen there. But for now, because
potentially they did a first, second, third pass, and maybe they don't realize that what they thought would be an outcome, it isn't going to be an outcome, and they say pause after there's some time to digest it in the public. But I tend to agree with you. It's probably going to be okay the way
so,
it is.
So at this point, though, we have to assume that the DOJ has signed off on this, right? The Catchmark went to him, say, hey, here's what we're proposing. You guys go with it. So at this point, we have to assume that everything I'm about to say then is potentially completely wrong if they haven't signed off on it.
Yeah. Okay?
Having said that, the real impact of this is you can't do offers of cooperation compensation in the MLS. That's about it, because apparently you can do it outside the MLS. There are some other smaller changes. One of the big ones I think would probably impact builders is the fact that, according to this, now every realtor has to sign a buyer agency agreement before they can show a house.
Right.
I'm curious how that really is going to impact
you guys. Some states require that already. And that was part of, once the narrative went out of, hey, this is really, nothing's going to change. And I saw, it wasn't just your first take. It was James DeWiggins and others who were kind of like, hey, this is like moving on. This is going to be behind us and more or less the same.
Yep.
For builders, one of the biggest problems that we have as an industry is not compensating agents for procuring costs. That's always been something builders have been happy to do. It's when the real estate agent shows up 2 weeks before closing and says, hey, by the way, you don't know me, but you owe me money. That's when the builder's like, hey, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the biggest questions I've gotten is even if this is paid, a buyer's agent is paid via a seller concession, the builder's like, I need to know that that money is for sure going to the buyer's agent. Because if there's not necessarily a way to prove that's going to happen, if it's just a seller concession and I'm going to give 20K to the seller for closing costs, miscellaneous, and buyer's agency, the builder's going to say, I want a copy of that agreement to know how much specifically is going to go towards that buyer's agent. And it's not just up to the buyer to determine how they're going to use those concessions.
That's so interesting because, all right, so let's walk through that. First of all, in theory, you can't just use a buyer concessions field, right, for compensation. So if you look at the settlement agreement. Seller concession, right.
Yeah.
One of the things that it specifically talks about is that you cannot, so what it says, you can't prohibit sellers from offering concessions to the buyers as long as the concession is not, you know, entirely tied to paying the buyer agent compensation. So right. It almost sounds like what they want to do is to say, look, we know that seller is going to offer concessions to buyers, you know, whatever, like free insurance, you know.
Well, right now, builders are offering giant rate buy downs or closing, whatever the builder can do to make the home more affordable to the purchaser.
Right.
We're like, hey, up to the maximum seller concession, we'd love to give that to you.
Right. So I think what it's saying is they don't want to prohibit sellers from offering concessions to the buyer, and it could be just about anything. The example that I used in my post is Corvettes. Buy my house, I'll give you a Corvette. Like, I don't think they want to stop that. What they want to stop, though, because I think they sort of foresaw, they don't want to turn the buyer concessions field into the new compensation field. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, that, the
that's
seller
what it
will...
sounds like everyone is saying it's going to become off MLS.
It's, well, the concessions field is in the MLS, right? So
okay, that's staying.
So I think that's staying to the extent, or if you might have put it in private remarks or whatever, but I think that's staying. What I don't know 100%, but this is just my gut feeling, right? Look, lawyers are not dummies. Judges are not idiots. If it turns out that going forward, 98% of listings has in the concessions field, seller will offer 2.5% concession to the buyer. It's they're going to see right through that.
But
right?
Rob, that's what people do now. Again, that's what, there are builders who their standard incentive to a buyer is, we'll give you 2.5% in seller concessions to, and they actually will say, use as you choose. How do you want to use that money? Do you want to use it to, and so I think what some builders are going to say is, if you want to use some of that to pay your agent, by all means do it. But we're capped at this amount.
I have a feeling that will be disallowed. Because again, judges are not idiots. That is just using the concessions field to offer compensation, which you cannot do in the MLS.
But
now,
well, okay, and this is why I love.
Hold up. Now,
yeah,
my thing that I've been telling brokers and agents is, why are you playing games? You don't have to play these stupid word games, because the settlement is also very, very clear. You can offer compensation outside the MLS, so you just can't do it in the MLS. You can do it outside the MLS. So a builder could put literally on the website, on the builder's own website, whatever, this particular model, buy this, 3% compensation.
Well, if it's to the buyer, I guess the point is, why would the builder say compensation at all? They would say...
It's to the buyer agent is what I'm saying. You could actually offer it to the agent.
So then again, what prevents us from just saying we'll give 4%?
Nothing.
We'll give 3%.
Nothing.
But isn't that steering?
Of course it's steering. Steering is preserved in the settlement agreement. That's my point.
Okay, that's the part I have to get my head around then.
Right. No, then that's what's so like, really? So when I'm reading through the agreement, right? And I'm going, okay, what I have in mind is the Department of Justice came out with a very strong statement of interest in the NoSelect case, right? And hopefully everybody who's listening knows about like the three big cases. So the NoSelect case, they had a settlement. The Department of Justice comes and says, no, this doesn't work for us. And they say, because steering is a problem and we need, like, this doesn't do anything about that. And they even made a suggestion as to how the new rules in NoSelect should be, right? Which is the buyer comes in and requests a concession from the seller with the offer, right? So, hey, I'm going to buy your house. I need you to pay $25,000, right? To my agent. Like you can
but that
request
amount
that.
has to be pre-negotiated upfront between the buyer and the buyer's agent,
Not
correct?
pre-negotiate. No. I'm just saying, forget the, leave that to the side. We're going to get to that, right?
Okay.
The idea is that you make an offer, you could say to the seller, hey, I'm willing to
Yeah.
pay, buy, I'm going to pay this for your house, but I need this in return. And my point is, look, you can include anything you want in that, right? Like if I want to buy your house, I could be like,
I'm in
hey, Kevin.
agreement, but on the mortgage, there's still a cap to how much of that we can do. My thing that I keep trying to do,
Sure.
which might not be real math, I'm not a mortgage agent. This isn't financial advice. We're not lawyers. We should have started with
Sure.
that.
Sure.
But my
Well,
understanding
I'm a
is
lawyer, but I'm not your lawyer. So,
the difference between a seller concession and a
yeah.
seller expense is paramount here.
Okay.
Because a seller's expense is where, as a home builder, I don't have to, whatever commission I'm paying, if it's an expense, doesn't go on that side of the ledger at
Right.
all.
Right.
If it's a concession of any kind, which I think everything now is a concession that's going to be paid to a buyer's agent. No?
No.
Okay.
So, okay, we'll walk through that, but hold on a second. Here, so the what I'm thinking about, like I said, what the DOJ wanted in the Boston case in Noselec was the buyer would include whatever they want in the concession. So in that case, that would be an impact, right? So you'd be like, hey, listen, we're gonna buy your house, but I want you to give me a Corvette. You can request it because it's an offer, right? You can request it, and the other guy says, yeah, we're not giving you a Corvette. How about a Chevy? Like, and you go back and forth, and that was the idea that they had put forth. The reason for that was because that eliminates steering. Because the agent in that case has no advanced knowledge of what he or she stands to make if their buyer buys this house. So they're going to go through the whole, they're going to show it, they're going to do the thing, negotiate, whatever. And then at the point of saying, we are putting in an offer, hey, I want $25,000. The seller, the builder in this case, pushes back, yeah, we're only offering 10. You go back and forth, right? And you negotiate it out. In that event, that would be a solid concession. Okay. What I'm saying is this settlement agreement with NAR doesn't have that concept, right? All it says is you can actually offer compensation. So in your language, the builder could be like, hey, we're going to pay 2.5% commission to the buyer agent, just like today. It's agent compensation. This is not concession. Concession is over here. We're going to do a rate buy down to the buyer. This over here is buyer agent commission, and we can publish it on our website. We can tell people on the phone. You could
Okay,
send
so
emails. You could do a fucking hot air balloon,
yeah.
right?
But why would a builder, other than steering, which I guess I just have to keep coming to, like, why not steer unless you're going to get sued for steering, which you still could. In theory,
No.
and that part of me
Why would the
wonders if
builder
this
get s no?
whole thing is a setup for a bunch of smaller lawsuits down the line.
I think so, but I don't see a scenario where the builder gets sued for steering because the builder's a seller.
Right, but
Seller's
if
expected to steer.
that okay, though that then.
Right? The problem with steering is that the buyer agent works for the buyer. The buyer agent has a fiduciary duty to the buyer, and
Not if
when
I
they
offer
steer,
4%, they don't.
what's
That's, I
that?
mean, if the builder offers 4%, they don't anymore. If they're
Well,
bringing, you know.
let's put it as a fiduciary, in theory, you're supposed to say, no, that
We
is not in
discussed
my
this at
client's best
dinner, Rob.
interest.
Fiduciary is a made-up word. We'll get to that. My point is, why would a builder offer that more than if, in fact, the buyer's agent and the buyer have to pre-negotiate and pre-agree on
Okay,
what
so
the
we're going to get
buyer's
to
agent
that.
is going to be paid? Why would the builder offer more?
So we're going to get to that. Okay.
Yeah.
One
Okay.
is under the settlement now, every buyer agent has to have these buyers sign a written buyer agency agreement that spells out, like, here's what I'm getting paid, here's how I get paid, yada, yada, yada,
And
right?
some initial reactions have already been from people that I've been interacting with on Twitter is, hey, we talked about this in our office, and we're just going to have everyone sign a 24, 48-hour, $0
Buyer
agreement
agency agreement, right?
first, and then we'll amend it later when we find a house. Does that
I
seem
think there's going to
plausible to
be
you?
all kinds of games that will be played, right? It's like, for $1, I will be a buyer agent for 24 hours, right? And then you can cancel anytime. That's one path, right? The other path that I think could be is like, because this is so easy, it's simple to me. Hey, we're going to do a buyer agency agreement and we're going to agree on you're going to pay me 5%. Not 3%, 5%. Okay. However, I'm going to leave out the enforcement clause.
Right, which is
Right?
worthless anyway.
Correct. So what I'll say is, but if the seller doesn't offer me 5%, then I will never go after you for any difference, right?
Right.
Okay, what does that mean? It means that when the thing says 2.5%, I take 2.5%, but you need to put the 5% in, because what the settlement agreement, the rules would then say is, as a buyer agent, you cannot make more than what your buyer agent agreement says you will make.
Right.
So
And
the
it can't be
incentives,
nebulous. It has to be
it
a
has to be
percentage
specific.
or a
Right.
number.
Right.
So,
So
yeah,
let's
just
be
shoot for the
specific.
moon.
I'll put in 25%. But my
Yeah.
buyer knows you're never coming after me. It's actually free to
Okay,
me.
but this is where in the real world, I think this person, especially, and Greg Robertson, your compadre in industry relations, brought this point up too. Like, you fill out a form on Zillow or whatever site,
Right.
and an agent you don't know calls you back and offers to show you the house. And then there's this whole like, you're signing stuff, but don't worry, it's for $0 or $1 and it's
Right,
48
whatever,
hours. And
right.
it seems like consumers are going to go, what the heck is happening?
I think, yeah, I mean, I suppose, but here's the
In
thing,
the
like
states where this isn't a requirement now, I think in the states where a signed agreement has been
a
required for a
requirement.
while,
Yeah.
then that's easy to be like, hey, the government makes us sign this thing. Don't worry about it.
No, but that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be,
Because
oh,
now it's
let's
not the
just.
state, it's this other settlement. As a
Correct.
result of the settlement, you have to sign this agreement. Hey, don't worry
It's
about the
the law.
terms.
I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. It's the law. It's just some paper we got to do, right? And then we go, wait a minute, but this says here that I owe you 3%, right? If I buy in the next year in like this state, right? Let's say it's really abusive, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, read paragraph 4 where it says none of these terms will be enforced by the buyer agent. Like some bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's not that hard to get around this, right? And as someone pointed out recently in a conversation, there's nothing in any of the settlement, nothing in these rules that says the buyer agent ag agency agreement can't be assigned. So now it's, you go to Zillow, you sign whatever electronic form, and then when the agent shows up, say, I'm going to show you this house, like, yeah, I got the buyer agency agreement assigned to me by Zillow.
Yeah.
And then we'll renegotiate when we do an actual buyer agency agreement. Like, it could be that.
And
I
that
mean,
handoff can be negotiated just to the terms. Like if I say, hey, I really want my sister Sally to be my realtor, she's sold a home or two in the last 10 years.
There's a
Sally could
assigned.
go work her back channels and offer someone something to get assigned the existing. Wow.
So I'm just looking at, like, really nothing changes.
Other than the signed agency agreement, and I still think there's something for builders here where at least we have a piece of paper signed.
Right. So I guess in theory, if someone were to show up, right, or the case that you brought up 2 weeks before closing, some agent's like, hey, by the way, you owe me a bunch of money. We're
Yeah.
like, can we see the signed buyer agreement?
Right. Which is what builders ask now, but everyone's like, oh, you don't expect us to use that. Is like,
Right.
you know, like, we don't use that. Come on, it's just customary. Give me what I'm owed. I think there's that. And I still think the justification for whatever amount is put in that document is going to be hard for people who don't have a large volume and history of work. Hey,
Why?
I like because you're Greg from State Farm and you've sold 2 houses in 5 years. I'm not signing any legal document with you. Like, I just don't want to do that. I want to.
I don't know. I mean, dude, this is one of my problems with the settlement, right? Because to me, one of
It's
the
like they
big
had ChatGPT go through it as the Justice Department review and say, yeah, okay, sounds great. Wait, like some low-level person just fed it into ChatGPT and said,
No, this is
thumbs
an
up,
important
looks
point,
good.
right? So I happen to think that real estate agents have enormous value, okay?
Yeah, they
If they're
do.
good. The problem is if you suck, if you're incompetent, then they have less than, like, they have negative value. They actually hurt you if you use somebody, Greg from State Farm, right? The problem is there are lots of Gregs from State Farms, right?
Yeah.
And this doesn't do anything to decrease the number. And this is where I disagree. Like, why would Greg from State Farm have such trouble saying, look, this is just a law. Okay, I just have to, I get you to sign this paperwork. You read the
I just think
paperwork. It says
anything that
3% here, Greg. And you're
I
like,
mean, I
yeah,
always,
but.
hey, Greg, I mean, Robert, I agree with you. I always tell up my builders, or just a reminder, the United States is Walmart. Like, so that's not offensive. I was at Walmart yesterday. I bought stuff there myself. But when you walk around, and you say, I just think when you hand people a document or give them a DocuSign and say, if it says here you're responsible for paying something, and I don't know you yet. I don't tend to fill out very many DocuSigns for people sure. I haven't met or don't
sure.
know.
Sure.
And I think that's where the trouble's going to be like, wait a minute. I want someone who's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the other thing that I think this non-MLS stuff should, in theory, this isn't necessarily beneficial for builders, but in theory, that's where the broker or the agent's going to use that platform to say, here's why our team or I am so good at this, and we're worth being your partner. And oh, by the way, but
I think that would have happened without this settlement.
This,
I think that would have happened under the no select SOI,
mm-hmm. right?
Which is why I prefer that, because like I said, I think great realtors should take market share. They should be used by everybody.
Okay. Right? So you're
and
just,
they should mentor crap realtors. Like that's how I look at it. Right.
This so your initial thought for builders is, because again, this is really the question that everyone asked me is, Kevin, I don't mind paying agents a fair amount. I don't want to be held hostage by that person who shows up out of the blue.
Right.
If they provide value, if they're a procuring cause all day long, we'll pay them something.
Right.
Do you think in this settlement in any way reduces the blowback from lower? I mean, I don't think it does, but I have to ask it anyway.
But lower income families.
If I say, hey, we're going to do 2% across the board instead of 3%. And agents are going to say, well, I'm not taking my customer there if you're not paying 3.
Yeah. I mean, I think that'll still happen. Like, again, this doesn't eliminate steering. Right.
So how does it get approved? I don't know.
That's why I said, hey, man, like, I have to assume that DOJ signed off on this. And the judge doesn't want to. Judges almost never say no to a settlement agreement.
Right.
You know
what I mean? That's
almost never.
Maybe this isn't what the Justice Department wants necessarily, but Keshmark says this is what we have to do to not appear like we're jerks.
Maybe.
Like, we're not trying to bankrupt NAR. We just want our fair share and we want some things to change. I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, but if we assume that the DOJ signed off on this, these rule changes, these practice changes that they're talking about, is diametrically opposed to what they said in NoSelect.
Okay, here's the last question that I already knew I wanted to ask you. I did see something about that those buyer agency agreements in advance are only necessary if the home is on the MLS, in air quotes.
Let me see that.
And I think that was a real estate news article. It was Keller Williams' take on the whole deal. But if that's true, it would be another reason why builders would want to put as many of their homes on an MLS as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what it says, again, we could play word games, right? What the settlement actually says is something like, require that all realtor MLS participants working with a buyer enter into written agreement. So in theory, if you're not a realtor MLS participant, right? And because there are a number of states where you don't have to be realtors.
Uh-huh.
Then maybe those people, if you're not a realtor, then you don't have
then
to
then it
have,
is the Wild West, negotiate whatever you want, whenever you want.
Well, or that you don't have to have a written agreement.
Yeah.
Right.
So silver lining then, this is saying if you choose to remain with the designation realtor, you are going to have potentially things that you're going to do that other people don't have to do.
Potentially, except that
it's not enough like to said, necessarily make a difference, but
except that I'm like, who wouldn't want to have buyer agency agreement signed, right? They're all
people don't do it now all the time
people
because
don't do
they're
it
nervous
now because
to bring it up.
It's a barrier, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about like the buyer agent's life, like their whole thing is about how do I convince this buyer to work with me? How do I convince this buyer to just let me open a door so I could be procuring cause? Anything that gets in the way. I mean, dude, do you remember like the safety nuts, the safety craze that went on a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of realtors actually got murdered by
criminals.
And there was this huge thing like realtor safety. And it was like, hey, before you take somebody out for a showing, get their driver's license, do a background check. And there are all these apps. And the number of realtors like, I'm not doing that because the last thing I need, right, is some.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're not willing to do that and would think they're going to. Like, nah.
Well, then this takes almost full circle back to my original statement is while there's any amount of confusion and chaos, would builders be served best to just say loudly and clearly, hey, no matter what goes on here, for the foreseeable future, we're going to be happy to pay you X.
Probably.
Just cut through the clutter and simplify it for everyone. You don't have to probably. Work. Just bring your customer here.
Yeah, it's probably. And again, say it, just make it real clear. It's commission. It's agent compensation. It's not buyer concession, not any of that stuff.
Right. Well, we can't add anything else to that seller concession field because we're already maxed out.
Here's the thing. Well, and here's the thing. I do think for the builders who are actually members of an MLS, you can't put anything in the compensation field. So you got to figure out how to communicate that to the agents differently.
Oh, we can buy email lists like nobody's business. Send realtors emails they'll never read. We have ways around that.
But they might read it when it says, you know,
that's what I'm saying. We're happy to pay you.
Your title is, we offer 3%. You know, they might read that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's going to be other ways, I think, to do it. But yeah, the unfortunate thing is steering remains very much alive, which I actually think kind of hurts builders. I really do.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it absolutely hurts builders. I mean, I saw one, I think it was, I forget whose take, was that this was just going to make all commissions like what builders typically do. Actually, I think it was John Burns saying, hey, when times are good, builders say, hey, we're not going to pay. We're going to pay 2% or 1.5%. Mm-hmm. And when times are bad, we'll pay 3%. It's going to more kind of vary as the market conditions.
Possibly. Now, here's the thing. Like, I do think the place where this doesn't apply at all, right? And again, people don't understand exactly what the problem is with steering. They don't really understand why this was such an issue, why the DOJ got it through, right? Because what it does is, say you're just an honest listing agent, right? And the fact is, vast majority of listing agents are pretty honest people, right? They're good. So they're not looking to, like, do payoffs or whatever. They're just looking to say, listen, I'm trying to sell your house, right? Like, my job is to sell your house, Kevin. And I charge whatever, 2%, 3%, whatever I charge, okay? Problem is, I have to tell you, because of steering, you have to offer something to the buyer's agent. Otherwise, no one's going to come see your house. No one's going to make legitimate offers, right? There's all these problems. So what it does, it creates an incentive in me as the honest listing agent to get you to raise the cost of the transaction. With a builder, you're the seller. Do you know what I mean? You're not subject to that. You do it because you want to. You do it.
And I know I'm the squirrel trying to figure out a different way to get into the birdseed container, and you keep swatting me away. You know, like, no, squirrel, you can't get in there. But Catchmark is at its core an antitrust case. Yes.
Yes.
Not a steering case. So there's still the idea that the government could still come in and say, we have issues with steering. The antitrust issue is settled because MLS and NAR requirements are no longer there. Compensation is not in the MLS anymore. So the antitrust part's over, but steering still needs to be resolved.
Steering still needs to resolve, except the DOJ and Catchmark and these guys have no other hook. In other words, this was an antitrust case because what steering does then is it raises the price. Okay, if you get rid of the antitrust, okay, there's steering going on. What's your angle? You don't have an angle.
The recordings of people like screaming, I'm not bringing my customer to here.
What I mean is, from a legal, like, if I'm bringing a lawsuit, like, what am I claiming was violated? What law am I claiming was violated, if not antitrust, where it keeps prices high?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you settle the antitrust thing, then there's no legal, like, lawsuit angle, from my opinion. Again, please ask your attorney.
Yeah. Yada, yada, I just figure, like, I don't if boards can be sued for lack of fiduciary duty, I don't know why a real estate agent can't be.
They can be. And they do get sued for that often. It's just the cost. Like, I'm going to go pay an attorney $50,000 to bring a fiduciary. Right? Yeah. I better have sold a $5 million house, right? Like, I'm not going to recover. Well, so it doesn't really make sense.
I just want to change the headline to say this isn't good for anyone, because ultimately it's not. I mean, people are saying, hey, this is going to be great. We're going to increase the professionalism of the. No, you're not.
No, you're not. No, like, almost all of the headlines, almost all the takes are just wrong.
You said there's civil war brewing. So there's, I don't know if that was just brewing. You trying to make sure people read part three or.
No,
or
it's because in the settlement, basically NAR threw all of the brokers who do over $2 billion under the bus. All of them. And I'm like, what? Like, did I read that correctly? And then I'd learn that they did this so that consulting with them or advising them. I'm like, what? Really? Like,
yeah. Well, that's what I was reading EXP today on their live stream for 50,000 Ages, I guess, was just like, we're not answering the question of whether we're staying with NAR or not. We're just going to do what's best for us. And I was like,
right.
Oh.
Right. Because EXP's, let's see, I actually have this. According to my calculations, EXP, in order for them to get covered under the settlement, will be writing a check for $159 million. Anywhere, Realogy, they settle for 85. Why would EXP write? Like, they're not doing that. Keller Williams settled for 70.
Right.
EXP's not writing that check.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here? So there will be civil war because at the same time, all the brokers who are under 2 billion are covered without having to write a check. Well, how do you resolve that?
Well, for the people who don't know better, like me, what's the problem? Like I'm just looking at it saying, okay, someone's going to have to pay more money. They're going to recruit people because they have resources and can say, we're going to keep investing this. Other people have no money left. But how does it resolve, you think?
I don't know, but that's the civil war, right? You know, it's one side or the other. Either it has to be everybody pays into the kitty or nobody pays into the kitty.
Mm.
You can't have the rich pay into the kitty, you know? I mean, I don't even know what the
well, that's what, okay, so why, last thing, like, and then I'll let you go, but why are agents so mad then and commenting all over the place about how no one should pay their NAR dues and screw NAR? If what you're saying, do they just not understand either that this is all good for them?
I don't think they really understand either.
I
said, I think most people don't, like, they just read by top line. I think the agents are pissed because they're reading the media headlines that says NAR eliminated by side commissions.
Customers read media headlines too. Clients read them, and that's going to be an annoying conversation.
It's going to be an annoying conversation. You know, it's like, and they make it sound like the buy side commission is eliminated. Like, that's not what happened here at all. And some of the press release, some of the coverage, I'm just like, where they're literally talking about price of homes will drop now. I'm like, how? Somebody explain the mechanism to me how that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Right?
Well, it only happens, again, if it gets entered in seller concessions versus seller expense, because then in the appraisal process, concessions are removed from the value of the property. But why anyone would do that other than listening to my stupid 10-minute video that I posted where I suggested that might be the case, and now it's clearly not. I don't know why. You should never do that.
The thinking is basically that, you know, commission will go from 6% to like 2%, right? Like in, you know, UK or whatever. So you'll save the 4% because the seller's like, well, you know, I'll just drop the price by 4% and I'll still net the same.
No, I can tell you by talking to the largest single sellers in the country, homebuilders, they're not doing that.
They're not dropping the price. Yeah, nobody's doing that. So home price aren't going to drop. Number of agents aren't going to drop. You know, steering is still alive. Commissions aren't going to change. Like, so it's this entire, this bizarre world. I'm like, it's the exact opposite. It's like the press coverage is the exact opposite of what the actual settlement says. So
that's where I'm hoping that someone in the Justice Department says, hey, wait a minute.
Except that,
like
I said,
probably not going to happen. The government can change its mind whenever it wants for whatever it wants. It doesn't, you know, just because they gave Catchmark the thumbs up doesn't mean they have to go through with it.
They could.
We realize this looks bad. Rob said it's all the same. We listened to his podcast with Greg, and we don't want to look bad. We're changing our minds.
It's possible. I mean, like I said, I would be surprised. I would be shocked, actually, because we'll know fairly soon, right? Like within the next month, let's say. Either the Department of Justice comes out and files a statement of interest in this case saying, no, this settlement is no good, or they don't. If they file it, then we know the answer. They weren't consulted, right? Or if they file it and Catchmark files a reply brief, we talk to the DOJ on whatever, right? February 1st, and they said, yeah, absolutely, copacetic, we're good with this. And now they're changing my mind, judge, you can't allow them to do this, just approve the settlement agreement. Right. Or they're silent on it and we know they signed off on it. That's where we're at.
I don't know if I'm going to sleep better tonight because of this conversation, or I'm going to be lying awake all night thinking what the hell just happened.
Look, I mean, I think for builders, you know, obviously, you know, we're working with a number of them, right, on the other concepts. So that doesn't change because compensation is never a part of it.
Yep.
But what it does mean is if you want to offer compensation, just offer it like outside the MLS. That's
yeah,
all.
On your own website.
And then do the concessions in the concessions, which is fine.
Oh, dang. Sorry, this was my leader, and I forgot to ask it to lead. Now, when someone walks in a home builder's office and the question is asked, hey, I don't have an agent.
Yeah.
Do I save something if I don't have an agent? The answer is pretty much across the board, no. Whether you have an agent or not does not impact the price in any way. It comes off of a different fund, different pool of money. They should keep saying that. Because if they like, versus if I say it on the website, I'm offering this amount. The smart consumer is going to say, but I don't have one of those.
Right.
Can I have 1.5% off if I don't have an agent? You can keep the extra 1.5% builder. Just give me a 1.5% discount off the price.
Sure.
That's the part that's, if it's that clear of I'm offering this money to that, that builders are going to have to know how to answer that question.
Yes.
Really well.
Yes, you are. But then again, I don't know why builders wouldn't.
That's what I think it's going to be interesting. I think some are going to be more likely to say in this case, because, and I think, again, that's where causation and correlation don't always match up. I think some builders will use this opportunity and the confusion just to say, we never did before, but we do now.
Because it's going to be two separate things. It's not concessions. It's going to be straight compensation. I do think a lot of people are going to try and use the concessions for that. Like I said, to me, judges will see right through it.
Well, again, builders can't in this case because they're giving away everything they can to make the home affordable. They don't. Right. If that was my fear, is even if you wanted to pay the agent and if you had to make it a seller concession, builders don't have any more room in the concession field to do that. They just they'd have to say sorry.
Right.
We can't pay you.
Right. So it'd be separate and do it outside. Yeah. And there are numerous ways I think you could do that. We could talk about that at a future date, depending on what the innovative, prop tech people come up with. But
All right, man. Well, thanks for hopping on. Thanks for the
You're
insights.
Welcome, brother. All
excited to have you out to Chicago for the summit as well.
That's
gonna be fantastic.
I can't wait. And by then, who knows? Like, the world might have gone topsy-turvy two more times before. It was September, October, right?
That's right.
And we might have real interesting news for the builder audience by then anyway. So
I have a feeling you'll have something to say.
Yes, we will.
All right, man. All right. Good to talk to you.
All right. Ciao.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Market Proof Marketing. Can't wait for the next one? Or looking to connect with other new home marketers? Become a member of our private community, DYC All Access, which is 100% free and always will be. Get exclusive content not shared anywhere else, access to private events, and the ability to join a marketing impact group with other marketers like you around the country. Visit our link in the show notes or members.doyouconvert.com to join. All opinions expressed by me, Andrew Peek, Jackie Lipinski, and our castmates are solely our own opinions. Now get to work and make sure your company is market-proof.